708 texted in, said, "Hey, John, boy, did you nail it with Twitter. Give yourself a break today." Joe Walsh said, "Charlie Kirk was like a son to me. Many years ago, I helped him get Turning Point USA started. We went our separate ways because of Trump, and we went after each other often on social media. My heart breaks for him and his family right now. We must all get off this road of political violence. Please stop this," begins your post today. Hi, Joe. You're on the air. How are you?
John, good to be with you, my friend. Thank you.
Joe's a former GOP congressman, of course. You hear his podcast now. He also publishes on Substack. He hosts The Social Contract with Joe Walsh. Take me back to your first days with Charlie Kirk. How did the two of you come together?
And John, it's a weird thing to say that he was like a son to me, because he and I have been on opposite sides for the past 7 years. But I first met him when I was 16. I was a Tea Party guy going to Congress. He was living in my district, and I became a political mentor, a father to him. He lived and breathed politics. I helped him start Turning Point USA. I advised him over the years, spoke at all of his events. We were tied at the hip, and I really did look at him as a political son. And then Trump came along, and we did go our separate ways. He became a big, big Trumper. I became a big, big never Trumper. And we found ourselves on opposite sides in this divided country. And generally, we kept things pretty respectful. But even up until yesterday, John, even though I hadn't talked to him in a few years, I still think of him as a son, and I'm saddened for him and the family, and I'm really saddened for the country.
Yeah. So the common root that started you two was conservatism. This was before Trump flavored that word, but I mean,
yeah.
The two of you were conservatives in nature, and that was the initial bond, huh?
Oh, John, you're so damn perceptive. Yes, we were both free market, free trade, limited government, balanced budget, what you would call conservatives. That's what I still am. Now, obviously, Trump and what my former political party became is the antithesis of that. Charlie and I were both Tea Party back in the day, John.
Yeah.
Tea Party became MAGA. And MAGA is a completely different thing. It's an authoritarian, white nationalistic, cruel thing, not at all consistent with the Tea Party. And Charlie glommed onto that, like, John, most of my former Republican colleagues did.
Well, I didn't ask you to come on today to run down anybody, Charlie or the party or all the people that voted for Trump. And in fact, the essence of your post is that however tempting it is to go down that road, that's not a road we want to go down, right?
No, and I loved Charlie Kirk, and I, look, immense respect for what he did. He died at 31 yesterday. Enormous impact, maybe one of the biggest, most important MAGA influencers.
Donald Trump put him in the four people who helped him get reelected. I mean, Charlie Kirk did, and I'll let you comment on this, is galvanize the youth in America at a time when the Republican Party had who? Mitt Romney to get excited about. Then there's this teenager, and he turned it into a multi-million dollar operation, which is almost beside the point. He helped Trump get reelected. Go ahead.
Completely, John. Everything you just said, almost single-handedly, young people, especially young men, did not vote Republican. Charlie Kirk almost single-handedly changed that. Enormous impact. And the whole point of what I've been trying to say for the last day and today is, I even grew to abhor his beliefs. But my God, I condemn murder, and we as a country got to get there, because there are a lot of people on the left who said Charlie Kirk was divisive, divisive, divisive. He spewed hate. And even if you agree with that, you can separate. You can say I abhorred Charlie Kirk's beliefs, but I unequivocally condemn murder. We as a country got to get to this place again where we don't completely hate the people we disagree with, because, John, you know, the destination, the final destination of that road of hate is violence. And that's what we saw yesterday. And political violence is always wrong.
He was tempted by the spark of confrontation, and he was good at it.
Yeah.
But he was also idealistic in his conservative views and values. I mean, he was a young man, and when you knew him, you must have seen that, this fresh face who said, let's have limited government. Again, pre-MAGA, but even post that, he was for a lot of things that who knew he would be able to find an audience for, and somehow he did.
Well, and John, again, he was a political savant. He was a genius. At 16 years old, 17 years old, you and I back in our high school days, we're thinking about where we're going out Saturday night, Dayton. He was obsessed with congressional districts around the country. He was a political nerd, and he loved it. He lived and breathed politics like many young men live and breathe sports. And he was so beyond his years. And he was such an able, bright speaker that he, again, through the force of his nature, grew that organization into something incredible.
What have you heard from family or friends? If you were still maybe challenging him or communicating with him on social media, have you heard from anybody else close to Charlie?
They're devastated, John. Everyone close to him is devastated. I think most of the country is. Those of us who knew Charlie well are devastated. But I think the country is jarred by this as well, because Charlie was not an elected official. He wasn't a politician. He was a private citizen. He was the leader of a movement. A private citizen was the victim of a political assassination yesterday. That's highly unusual in this country. That's really jarring. And he was the leader of a movement. This is scary stuff.
Yeah, it's. I think that's a distinction that some of us are scratching our heads about. What if he were the vice president, there would have been security, sightlines would have been already thought out. But if some speaker goes to a college campus, are we going to have to do that now for everybody? And you wonder what this says about speech on campuses or at rallies. It feels like a game changer.
And John, it may be. And look, Charlie was very outspoken. I'm very outspoken. I do a lot of public speaking. Anytime we go out now, you're aware of and you're worried about who's in the crowd.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate, but this is the time we live in now.
Your last words were, let's be better. Put your country first. And I hope that we can, Joe, former GOP congressman, podcaster, publisher of a Substack, The Social Contract with Joe Walsh. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, John.